Abbey United,
Killarney United,
Arrowheart,
Ahana Celtic,
Ballymote Celtic,
Manor Rangers,
Benbulben FC,
Yates United,
Dromore Villa,
Carrick Town,
Boyle Celtic,
Gurcheen Celtic,
St John's,
Valley Rovers,
Ballygawley Celtic,
Pollery Bowes,
Eel Tober,
Glen Celtic,
Ballacadare United,
Merville United,
Kilglass Enniscrown United.
This is Youth Soccer on Ocean FM!
For once I can't see her, but I know she's there. I'm in Dublin, she's in Sligo. Tina Byrne, good evening.
Hi Austin, how are you?
I'm very well.
Good.
The temperature dropping rapidly here in the Upper Hogan Stand. It's amazing how cold it can get, even in a theatre like Croke Park, but there you go.
I know. I hope somebody brought you your usual, your 5:30 coffee and croissant.
Indeed.
Or whatever.
It's oxtail soup up here, apparently. There you go. There you go.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Indeed. Anyway, Tina, it's been another busy week nationally for Sligo Leitrim.
Yes. It's been sort of a very quick turnaround. As you know, the week before, I was in Limerick with the Gaynor team, and we came back Saturday evening, and on Sunday the Kennedy Cup team departed Sligo for the competition, so they went down on Sunday. And I suppose today I just wanted to summarise as best I can on what happened in Limerick with the Kennedy Cup team. I suppose I'll start by saying the prep work that went into this group was phenomenal. There was so much work done, and it's not just all pitch work. There was an awful lot of work done on, I suppose, preparing the players mentally, physically, just getting all their bits and pieces organised. So they had a lot of team building sessions, they had a lot of presentations, all that, which is the way the game is going now. All of the stuff years ago, it used to be huge emphasis on the field work and matches and training and running and all that fitness, but I suppose the incorporation of mental fitness and emotional fitness is hugely popular now, and that's the way the game has gone. So they were extremely well prepared, a lot of work done. So I suppose then it comes down to the performances. So their first game was against the North East League, it's the NECSL, and they emerged victorious from that 3-2. There was goals from Ryan O'Donoghue and the prolific Jack Nicholson. I have spoken about him quite a lot this year because he has been banging in goals for St John's all year. Then they had another game then in their group against Limerick County. Now, something happened in that game which I think was a catalyst for how the game concluded. There was a red card in that game which appeared to be quite harsh. Now, I think, I'm not exactly sure because I was tuning in and out during the week. A lot of these games were transmitted on Facebook Live, which was fantastic, because up to now, you'd always, when teams would travel, you would always be texting people, asking people how the game's going, how it's been played. So they had cameras on two pitches for every day, pitch one and pitch two. So Sligo Leitrim were playing on pitch two. So I can't exactly say what was the cause of the red card. But Limerick County won that game 2-0, and I think Sligo Leitrim just were struggling because they had the extra man, and I'm not sure. I'm sure they had made provision for that in their prep, but it didn't work out on the day. Then they went on to play the other Limerick team, Limerick Desmond. And again, this is where they dug deep and they won that game 1-0. So that meant that they were top of the group and they qualified for the quarterfinal of the cup competition. And if you recall, similar with the Gaynor, there's a cup, a plate, a bowl and a trophy. So depending on where you finish in your pool game, you get sectioned then into the different categories. So Sligo Leitrim were still in the cup competition. And some of the opposition, the other teams that had played, I was most impressed with Waterford. Midlands were excellent. Cork were brilliant. The DDSL, as always, never turn up without a bit of talent. So Sligo played Waterford in the quarter final, and Waterford were very, very good. Really, really outstanding. Not saying the Sligo Leitrim weren't, but unfortunately they lost 3-0 in this game. That meant then that they dropped down then to the plate competition. So they lost that that quarter final, so then they reverted to the plate competition. And then if you think the drama stopped after that, it didn't. It actually went up a notch, because they played our near neighbours Donegal in the semi-final of the plate competition, and that game was unbelievable. It finished level after full time, and in these tournaments they don't go to extra time, they just go straight to penalties. And they went straight to penalties, and unfortunately, Sligo Leitrim's keeper, in the process of saving the penalties, was a couple of misses in the beginning, which you can understand. Players are nervous. But the team started scoring then, and Sligo Leitrim's keeper pulled off a fabulous save. Unfortunately, got a bad injury in the process. And going by the competition rules, it had to be, you couldn't bring in your sub keeper then. It had to be a keeper, had to be selected out of the 11 that finished the game. So Alex Smith stood in goals for Sligo Leitrim. He's an outfield player, a fabulous outfield player, but he said, okay, I'll step in goals. And he got very, very close to a couple of the penalties by Donegal, but unfortunately Donegal won 11-10. I thought it was going to break the record of Kennedy Cup penalty shootouts, I think, which is 17-16, but Donegal won. So what did that mean? So that meant then that Sligo Leitrim were going to play the losers of the other game in for third and fourth in the plate. So we came up against our neighbours, the opposite side, the other Connacht neighbours, Galway, in the third and fourth place playoff in the plate competition. And again, fair play, Sligo Leitrim ended that game a 2-2 draw, but again back down to the dreaded penalties. And you can only imagine sometimes that can drain you a lot. And unfortunately, they didn't come up on top on that game. Galway won that game. So overall, when you look at the placings and all that in the competition, in the full competition, Sligo Leitrim came 8th overall out of, I think, 32, a starting pool of 32. So you'd have to say the girls were 3rd in theirs and the boys were 8th in theirs. So you'd have to say, you know, a successful Kennedy Cup. And huge shout out to all the players, their families, coaches, everybody who contributed in any way to enabling these group to do it, because it's a fabulous competition. I'm sure they met loads of players that they'll probably meet again in you know, interprovincials. You know, some of them will go on and play, keep playing, and they'll come up against some guys that they've met before. But overall, I would have to say a successful competition for Sligo Leitrim. But I am in no doubt that they would have been disappointed with some of what happened. But again, that's the way the ball bounces, that's what happens. And you know, if they had beaten Donegal in the plate semi-final, I'm absolutely certain that they would have dug deep to win, bring back the plate. Like, they would have loved to have won a trophy, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
I'm just thinking, Tina, listening to that, a grueling and an awful way to lose out two consecutive penalty shootouts. But we need to remind ourselves that Sligo Leitrim boys under 14 team won their group, which is no mean feat in a competition of this calibre.
Honestly, when I looked at the final tables after the three group games. Now, I know they had lost and they sort of, but it was good to see them scoring goals. But then, once you go through to the cup competition, that's where you're in with the big boys. So like, they were absolutely, there's no question that they were they were value for their money qualifying for the cup competition. But again, as you said, that word grueling, I think normally when you have a match, you say if you play a match on a Saturday, you'd normally have, you know, you wouldn't be playing maybe soccer on a Sunday, you might have training on a Monday or a Tuesday. But this is pretty full on. Like, you have a game, you the next day, there's a chance you have one game, maybe two games. Then if, as you're winning, you're getting through. So it does drain. And these lads are 13, 12, some of them 14, you know, it's an under 14 competition. So like, physically and mentally, it's tiring. And to see them, the cameras went across to the penalty shootout against Donegal. So I caught the end of that. And like, Donegal as well, like, you know, they had missed a couple. Like, it's very tiring because you're coming to the kind of the end of the competition, and no matter how much rest and all that you get, it's still tiring because it's quite an intensive week. Hugely enjoyable, and I'm sure none of them would have traded a game to be playing and all that, but it's so tiring, you know. And I know I was watching some of the, they're obviously their parents and friends and family when the penalties were being shot, and the elation when the goal would go in, and the devastation when, say, there was a miss or a save. So like, everybody was very invested in the penalty shootout. Now, I didn't see any of the penalty shootout versus Galway. I'm not sure if that was if the cameras went across to that penalty shootout. I picked that up from social media. Like, I was picking it up off our own Facebook page, and in fairness, there's a lot of stuff there on the page, you know, that was keeping people well up to date, because normally what you'd be doing is you'd be maybe messaging somebody on the coaching staff, asking them, and they're not going to be looking at their phone during the game to be telling you a blow-by-blow account of how the game is going. They're invested on the sideline. But which was great this time, because there was the FAI, the SFAI, seemed to have put a lot of effort into bringing the game to the masses for people like who couldn't be there, that they could. You know, you could tune in if you were, you know, on your lunch break or whatever. There was games, you know, and you could tune in and have a look and watch some of the games. But hugely impressed. I did back Waterford in the final. I thought they were exceptionally strong. But Cork popped up and beat them 2-0. So the Kennedy Cup, and I think from looking at the stats, that's the first time Cork have won it. I think since, I stand corrected here, but I think it's 1987 was the last time they brought the Kennedy Cup to Cork. So they were absolutely over the moon, and the cameras stayed with them for a while. So I'm sure the Sligo Leitrim lads would have loved to have had some elation like that, you know, just to finish the week. Because I think for me, being there with the girls, to see them winning the third and fourth place playoff, that was the end of the week on a high. So you know, they felt value for their competition. So, and I'm sure that the boys were disappointed, but I have to say they gave a fantastic account of themselves. You know, I watched some of the games, and I was blown away by the abilities and the brains and the awareness and the positioning, and everything is organised. You know, everything is a set piece that's, everybody knows their job, like, and that just comes from some great coaching, you know, which is the way the game is going. So that's that over now for another year, but it's great to be back at those competitions where it's not just trying to run competitions in the last 2 years were almost pretty much impossible. There's gaps on the trophies for 2020, where just was nothing happening because of COVID, so there was no competitions. So I'm sure everybody is back and looking forward to, hopefully, all the guys coming up and all the girls coming up for next year's selection.
And in terms of the 2022 youth soccer season, Tina, does that bring the curtain down on the action?
Well, Austin, when I was talking to you during the week, I was kind of saying to you that that's it. But there's our under 13 girls interleague are in the final of the national competition, and I am almost certain that's happening next Sunday. So I'm going to have to get
terrific.
So they beat, if you recall, I'm just looking through my notes here before I come in. If you recall, they beat MGL in the semi-final. Again, no mean feat. And they are through to the final now. And if I'm not mistaken, I know that game is happening down the country somewhere, but where exactly it's on, I had been focused so much on Gaynor and Kennedy for the last couple of weeks, because I knew that wasn't clashing with anything. Now, I'm like the pupil at school trying to convince the teacher. I know where my homework is. I'm flicking furiously through pages here, but it's not happening. Wait, let's see. Yeah, it's like Leitrim under 13. Yeah, I know that game, and I'm sure I might contact Brian Chambers and find out when that game's on, and we'll keep a close eye on that.
Well, look, we have a few minutes. Why don't we look back on some of the season highlights then, as we approach the end of the season? We still have that under 13 girls interleague final to look forward to. Pick out a few of the things that you will look back on from the 2021-22 youth soccer season in Sligo Leitrim?
Well, I suppose without picking like anything absolutely specific, I suppose it was fabulous to see football back, see pitches open, see kids running around, see everybody participating. I mean, it was a barren few years, and people seem to come back with more determination than ever, because I was concerned like that people would be a little bit stale and, you know, maybe lost interest a little bit, but it actually seemed to be the opposite. There was an awful lot of real people obviously were doing work themselves. Like, players didn't deteriorate, players didn't lose the touch, there was none of that. A couple of things that stood out for me was probably Strand Celtic winning the under 18 Connacht Shield. Now, that was a fantastic achievement. Again, they had a great season. They went and sort of very nonchalantly came back and said, you know, they were playing, I think it was in Castlebar, and they won that. But there was a lot of games towards the end. If you recall, when I was coming into studio, there was penalty shootouts, there was heartbreak, there was elation, there was so many good things. But for me, I think it was the fact that the leagues got back up and running, and there seemed to be more interest than ever in participation. And I have to say, particularly girls. A couple of times I was up in Boyle one Saturday morning for a boys game, and there was a girls under 8s and under 10s, and it was like a beehive. They were all in a little a fenced off area, and they were like tiny, but there must have been about 30 of them in there. And I was thinking, Boyle are really taking the interest, and they're taking those girls right up through all their age groups. And again, they're going to be building for the future, and you'll see a lot more of their players coming through. I mean, this year they had a girl on the Gaynor Cup team. So again, that's all part of it. A lot of Kiva Flynn for Kilglass Enniscrone, like, she's doing great things. She's really shown her worth. But there's probably been so many high points of the year. But I suppose it's the fact that we're getting back to good competition. We're getting back to playing. We're getting back to fixtures going ahead. Lots of development in clubs. There's so many a progression with facilities, that kind of thing. So I suppose, you know, lots of high points, because we had so many competitions this year. It's difficult. Like, St John's had a great season. Valley Rovers had a great season. Again, where do you start? Where do you end? You could actually do a full show on pick some highlights and all that kind of stuff. Manor under 15 girls, they beat Boyle 6-5. I mean, imagine 11 goals. I mean, you know, topsy-turvy. So lots of good stuff happening. So I'm looking forward to this under 13 girls game, and then we'll take it from there, and we'll see where we go from there.
Speaking of which, Tina, your local correspondents are doing the business for us this evening. Jim Gray has just messaged me to confirm that the under 13 Sligo Leitrim girls are playing Cork in Cahir in County Tipperary next Sunday afternoon at 3:00.
Thank
so there you,
Jim.
Go.
I thought the game was in Cork against Tip, but it's actually the other way around. So yes, I think Amber is on that team. His granddaughter. So I'd say that's probably why he knew it off the top of his head. And again, apologies, because I suppose there was so much focus on Gaynor and Kennedy over the last few weeks that the under 13s have been subtly prepping for their final, and they're going to get all the glory next week, because there's nothing else really in terms of league and all that. Like, that's so again. There'll be a great contingent travelling, because at those age categories, so many people go and support and watch the games, because they all go with their kids, and the grannies go and the grandas go and the brothers and sisters, and you know, they all like to be part of those big days out.
Tell me this, will you and the Sligo Leitrim Youth Soccer Committee get a break now, Tina Byrne, once the dust settles after next Sunday's final, or is it straight into planning for next season?
Well, the AGM is scheduled for or the first week in July. I don't want to give out a date because I don't want to give out the wrong date, but the clubs would have got notification for that. So again, that is the AGM. And after that, then there will be a couple of weeks where you'll sort of get, you'll have a kind of a football free, but realistically, stuff has to start happening in the league the last week in August or first week in September latest. So again, you're back around to registration, all that good stuff, and get things up and running again. So to be honest, there isn't a whole pile of downtime for committee and all that, because you know you've closed the door on last season to a point, and you have to start prepping. And in order for things to be done in a timely fashion, because we sort of plan from the back, so, as in we look at the end, like when do we want to finish, and we work back from that. Then, to be fair, people, once you start clashing with other sports, it becomes a bit tricky for clubs and parents and all that. So we do try and put an end in it. And to be fair, most people like to finish up in sort of end of May, early, you know, that kind of time. So give them a break from all the stuff that has to be done behind the scenes. So we'll be working backwards, and I suppose looking at all the competitions, looking at all the age groups, looking at what the clubs want, what's, you know, because when you have competitions in like 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s, 17s, 18s, there's a lot of stuff to hammer through there. So like the AGM is probably where you listen and you sort of make the best decisions you can and take it from there.
You're like the Premier League in England, Tina Byrne.
I know.
Non-stop.
Honest to God, you know, sometimes it feels like that we align with the Premiership in England, you know, and I can guarantee you, I have seen some goals that would challenge some of the Premiership goals this year. I mean, there has been some unbelievable as I said, unbelievable elations and disappointments and goals and passes and flicks and genuine good hard work and effort and all that. And that's what we like to see. We like to see teams enjoying their game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, until next Sunday, Tina yes. Byrne, thank you, as always.
Thank you, Austin. Safe home.
Abbey United.
Oh. Killarney United.
Arrowheart.
Ahana Celtic.
Ballymote Celtic.
Manor Rangers.
Benbulbin FC.
Yates United.
Drumore Villa.
Carrick Town.
Boyle Celtic.
Gurcheen Celtic.
St John's.
Valley Rovers.
Ballygawley Celtic.
Pollery Bowls.
Eel Tubber.
Glen Celtic.
Ballacadare United.
Merville United.
Kilglass.
Enniscrone United.
This is Youth Soccer on Ocean FM.